Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here on our main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined every Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we record, by Sondra. Hi Sondra, how are you?
Hi Kenny, I'm okay. I'm still sick 3 weeks in. I'm really happy about that. But other than that, I'm okay. And I still am just trying to figure out what to make of all the stuff that came out of SmackDown last night, because there's just a lot, so I don't really know what to do with all of it.
There is a lot. So, I mean, basically this week we're going to try and have more of a Q&A. We've got like 22 questions that people have sent in for us. Raw was like just kind of there. I didn't really further anything. It did. Do you know, I've got a new theory. I've got a new opinion that I didn't really know I had. You know, people were like, oh my God, it's the worst thing ever that Baron Corbin is Kurt Angle's best opponent or last opponent. I don't know if Kurt Angle's capable of much more.
I don't think so. That's the thing, like, watching it, because I didn't watch a lot of Raw, because I work Monday nights, so it's hard for me to kind of catch up, right, with a bunch of other stuff that I have going on this week. But I did watch SmackDown in its entirety, as long as the internet would let me watch SmackDown. It was being kind of a dick last night, but, like, even when Kurt Angle was starting to wrestle AJ Styles, like, you got glimpses that match was, like, had the potential to be really good. And you could tell that, like, mentally, Kurt Angle is still very capable of doing a lot of this stuff. And, like, some of his counters and transitions still are good, because he knows how to do them, because he's great, because he's Kurt Angle, and of course he is. But it's also just so very apparent that his body is giving out on him. And it's uncomfortable to watch him wrestle a whole lot, which is why, like, when Randy Orton came in and did the RKO to AJ Styles, I mean, boo Randy Orton forever, because, of course, because he's Randy Orton and I'm going to boo him forever. But at the same time, I was a little bit relieved. Like, I was a little bit relieved that the match didn't go longer, because I didn't want to watch a full wrestling match with Kurt Angle and AJ Styles. And that sucks, because 5 years ago, I would have loved to watch that match. Like, I know that that match happened on Impact and it was probably great and I haven't seen it, but maybe I will. Maybe I'll watch that and that will be, like, the memory of what could have been. But it's just, I really think that Angle left his retirement a couple years too longer, and I don't want to, like, shit on the guy for it or anything like that, because obviously he loves wrestling, he wants to be able to do this, but this farewell tour has just been a little bit sad for me.
Well, yeah, because we've had these matches so far, like the AJ Styles and the Samoa Joe, and it's like the sell of the matches that these guys have had these great matches in the past, and it's like, yeah, and they were in the past. And, you know, it's like, I mean, I guess the only other comparison you could make is, like, when Undertaker and Shawn Michaels were in the ring at Crown Jewel, it wasn't that Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, when they were both in there together, was particularly bad. It just wasn't particularly good. And the last thing they were remembered for was this, you know, series of matches over, like, the course of 2 years, where people really got invested in them. One of them was called one of the greatest matches of WrestleMania history and all that kind of stuff. So the bar was set with that. And then I feel like the bar is set with this, where every time he faces someone, it's like, he faces Rey Mysterio next Monday on Raw, and, like, they had this great match at SummerSlam 2002, and now, I mean, I don't expect anything near that, and maybe it's unfair to expect that of a guy at Kurt Angle's age, with obviously the pain that he has gone through, but I just don't know now, like, if they did book, like, a dream match for WrestleMania, I don't think he's really physically able to give you that anymore.
No, I don't think so. And it's, like, again, I think it's cool that he's getting to do this kind of farewell tour and, like, having his last match ever on SmackDown. And the fact that they're hyping up his retirement is good. Like, he deserves that. He's Kurt Angle. Of course he does, right? But it's just kind of, it's getting a little bit uncomfortable and it's a little sad to watch. And it's, you know, it's kind of sad when, like, you're watching someone do something and they can't do it anymore. And you can tell they really, really want to. And so for the guy, like, for Kurt Angle, I'm glad that he gets to do these things. But I think it's good that he's retiring, and I think it's good that they're putting kind of a finality on it. And like, yeah, Baron Corbin is a very underwhelming last opponent, but if it can be something short and it can be something that's not super intensive, then I think that would be to everyone's benefit, because I just like, I worry about his health and I want him to be okay and not push his body past its limits the way people like Mick Foley have done, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think the thing is, like, the more that you see him have these farewell matches, though, I think that the desire to see him wrestle again goes down every time.
It does.
So.
Like, I mean, ideally, it seems like, and you obviously you can't put anything back in the box or whatever, but it would have been nice to announce a big retirement match for him and then not have him be killing himself in these matches on Raw and SmackDown, because it seems like, I mean, having him wrestle weekly lately is probably not helping him. Like, maybe that's how he's trying to get into ring shape for a WrestleMania match, but it seems like it's just gonna hurt more and more and more, and maybe he should have saved it for like one big hurrah on the grandest stage of them all. Hashtag trademark, whatever.
So, I mean, yeah, we're gonna see what happens with Baron Corbin at WrestleMania, or I mean, I assume they might do something else now, but I don't even know what, like, you know, sometimes you go, well, why are they not doing this thing? Because it's the most obvious thing that would be really good, but I don't really know what you can do that would be really good at this stage. Like, I remember when he did the thing when we did the match with the Shield, him and
Yes. When
Ambrose
he did like
and
Shield cosplay and looked like the
Shield
happiest
cosplay
dad
that.
in the world.
That was great. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the
I enjoyed
WrestleMania
that too,
match.
because he got to do German suplex, and he got to do an angle slam, and he got to kind of look like Kurt Angle but be protected and not have to carry a full match. And I think, you know, that was awesome. And it's just like, for the health of the dude, like, I just don't want to see him push it too far, you know? Like, that's more my concern. And I mean, I don't. Obviously, he knows what he's capable of more than I do, but you can tell that he's in pain right now.
So one more to go. Rey Mysterio on Monday before he goes to WrestleMania next Sunday. Also, before we continue, you are very annoyed that Mustafa Ali has had half of his name taken away. He is now just going by Ali, apparently.
Absolute bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Like, I mean, obviously, I cry bullshit every time someone gets part of their name taken away. I still say Eric Rowan. I will, like, remember when Buddy Murphy got his name taken away? Like, it was just Blake and Murphy, and they were just Blake and Murphy, and it wasn't Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, but now they're Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy again. And, like, obviously, I'm still like Alexander Rusev forever, right? But this goes deeper than that for me. Like, with Mustafa Ali, I think it's been awesome seeing this, like, happy, proud Muslim dude with a happy, proud Muslim dude sounding name on SmackDown and on 205 Live before that. And like, his name was a part of what he brought to the table for me. Like, it was awesome. Like, it was really cool to see someone with, you know, that sort of name just kind of proudly presented as a good dude and as a good person and as a babyface character that everyone except for Finn Martin apparently wants to get behind. Having Mustafa Ali like represent that part of his culture so proudly was really awesome. And so the fact that that's gone now is just kind of a big bummer for me. Like, it doesn't make him any less charismatic of a performer. It doesn't change his message necessarily. But if you listen to him on, he was on The Secret Life of Muslims and had like a really cool segment about how, yeah, at first when he started like getting into wrestling and whatnot, for a while, he did a heel, like foreign heel gimmick, right? Where he was, I think, like Prince Ali or Prince Mustafa Ali. And yeah, like he got people to boo him and chant USA and be like, boo the foreign menace. And there's a really poignant line in there where he says, I looked into this kid's eyes and he was booing me and he was hating me. And I was like, did I just teach you to hate people that look like me? Like, this isn't what I want to do. I want to teach you that people like me are not all terrorists. We're not all just like the foreign menace that you have to boo. I want to teach people that, you know, I mean, Mustafa's whole thing is be the light, right? Like, be the light in the world. And taking away his name doesn't change the fact that he's still a very proud Muslim man who is represented as a good dude and a charismatic babyface on SmackDown Live. But I think taking away that part of his name, it means something more than a lot of the other name changes. And I don't want to like cry out that they're only doing it because they're racist, because this is something they do, right? Like, they take away a lot of names. They've taken away a lot of more like quote unquote foreign or non-standard American, whatever, in the heaviest of inverted commas, like sounding names, like I don't know, like taking Cien Almas away or like Alexander Rusev or whatever. But like, I don't think this one was necessarily motivated by racism, because they just did it to, you know, like Tucker Knight and Otis Dozovich too, right? But it's still like, it does take away a part of his character for me, and he doesn't even seem necessarily super happy about it. Like, the tweets he put out were very nice. He was just like, my message hasn't changed. I'm the light. Like, Mustafa means the chosen one, with an emphasis on chosen amongst the people. And like, regardless of whether that's still my name or not, like, I'm still gonna fight for the people. That's still my message. So it doesn't like take him down as a character at all, but it is a bummer because now that part of his representation isn't there. And I think it was an inspiration to a lot of kids who didn't have heroes that looked like them or had names that sounded like them.
Yeah, he said on Twitter, Mustafa means the choice. Yeah, he, after he said what he said on Twitter, I mean, this is the most kind of silly one. Like, I don't really necessarily. The ones like Harper and Rowan and Rusev, they don't really bother me that much. But this one, it's not that this one bothers me. I just think it's like Rusev. Now, I would never think to call him Alexander Rusev anymore. Like, he's just Rusev. But I just don't know why Mustafa Ali had to be changed. And I'm with you, I don't think it was like a racism thing or anything like that. I think it was just they're on a thing where they want to take away a lot of names. I mean, can you imagine Stone Cold Steve Austin was just Stone?
I've seen all the memes of like people just being like, we're gonna have Ron and E and Beck and,
Yep.
A for AJ or whatever. Like, and that's, it seems, it's just ridiculous to cut this many names, right? Like, I mean, technically Sheamus was Sheamus O'Shaughnessy in FCW. Like, no one thinks of Sheamus O'Shaughnessy. And I'm like one of the only people that will say Alexander Rusev every once in a while. Even I say Rusev most of the time because that was the name that, I called him by. But with Mustafa Ali, I've always called him Mustafa. I've never really referred to him as Ali. Like even with Andrade Cien Almas, I referred to him as Andrade more often than I did Cien Almas. So it is easier for me to just say Andrade. But like with Mustafa Ali, I've called him Mustafa. Just like Antonio Cesaro, I called Antonio. And Adrian Neville, I called Adrian. So it's, I don't know. It's weird. And I'm never going to acknowledge it. He's always going to be Mustafa Ali to me because you know me and I'm a ridiculous human being. And I acknowledge that. But I don't know. Just kind of like the cultural implications of taking away this name really bummed me out on another level beyond my normal ridiculousness.
Yeah, this one's definitely like there is a reason as to why this person should still have the name within their name, as opposed to other ones which maybe just are preference if they have the other name. So I mean, we're not really going to talk about Raw 'cause it wasn't. I mean, we will obviously acknowledge that Triple H did do a reference to the Spice Girls meme that was going out with him and Batista, which was the best thing ever.
That was pretty amazing. Like when he, what I really, really want, what I really, really, really want, and then like flipped all the pages and everything. I was so bummed when he didn't end it with Zigga Zigga Ah.
I think he wanted to inside. You could tell he did, but he was only able to do that.
Like I
But
just would have loved if that were the culmination on like the last page and that was
it
like
should
the
have been.
salutation or whatever, Like it really should have been. But yeah, I mean, the Triple H promo I thought was good. I thought he went on a little too long, like he tends to do. I mean, Triple H and Batista is fine. Like as a match, I think they're both doing well to build it, and I kind of like that it's off in their own nostalgia corner, because it's, it's the match for people who want a match with people from years ago. They're both older dudes. They're both fighting each other. It's almost just like a subset of the card. It doesn't like take away from anything else. Oh my gosh, my voice is so bad. I apologize. But like it doesn't take away from, anyone on the current roster right now or anything. I kind of like that they're in their own little nostalgia corner, having their own little story, and they're not, I don't know, beating up people that I like to get there.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I think that it always helps to have. I mean, this is kind of like a weird nostalgia match plus your Triple H match plus your celebrity match all in one.
Yeah, it accomplishes a lot of things.
So it's good. Yeah, it's good to have them all in kind of one thing. And I thought the promo was good. Triple H and Batista. I don't think Triple H and Batista are necessarily like the highlight of every show, but I don't think that's really what the match is designed to be.
I love that they're not the highlight of every show because I feel like 5 years ago, they would have been the highlight of every show. Remember Triple H and Sting? Like, they were all over everything, and it was the biggest match, and it was all anyone could talk about because they're the most important because they're from not now. And that's one of the things that I'll give this WrestleMania credit is that it's building around current stars, right? Like the main event of WrestleMania is going to feature three full-time performers for the first time since, I believe, Miz and John Cena at 27, which is crazy to think about, right? Like we're at, what number is this year? 35?
35.
Okay. Sorry, I'm really bad with remembering that. But it's crazy that we went from 27 to 35 not having a main event with two full-time performers. That's insane. But it's great that we're getting that now. And it's like this kind of feels like exactly where it should be. Like it's a part of the show. It is being featured on the show, but it's not taking over everything. It's not like every time the Undertaker comes back and it's like all anyone can talk about, right? Like it's exactly where it should be for me. So I really like it. Plus, Batista's doing incredible promo work and like he's being such a prick, but I'm super on his side and I just love him.
So before we talk, basically the questions that we've got, obviously the first three or four are totally part of the SmackDown Women's Championship scenario, which we'll just go into in a second. But before that, I'm curious about your take on the Kofi Kingston angle he did last night on SmackDown. They had them come out and called it Vince. Vince told them that he's a B plus player, but he would give the New Day, Xavier and Big E, one more chance to get Kofi a title shot if they could run the gauntlet. They did run it, and including the Usos sort of like forfeiting the match, and they beat Brian and Rowan, and they beat the Bar and the Club and all these different people. And at the end, Vince confirmed he's in the match, and the New Day celebrated. So I'm curious, what did you think of the segment? Would you, if you had to choose, would you have just said give it to him last week and not do it this week? Talk me through your thoughts.
I would have said do what they did this week last week, I think, because I really liked a few things that this week accomplished. I really, really did. Because I felt like Kofi had already earned it as of last week, right? And then, like, having to run another gauntlet, you said last week you were kind of tired of the gauntlet match concept. So when they announced another gauntlet match on this episode of SmackDown, I was like, oh, great. Like, another one? It seems like way too many gauntlet matches all in a row, right? And they're kind of diminishing returns when you have this many gauntlet matches in a row because it kind of loses what makes them special. So I wasn't that keen on another gauntlet match. I like a lot of the things that the gauntlet match accomplished, though. And I think it was very interesting that Big E Langston and Xavier Woods are so firmly behind Kofi Kingston at this point that they're willing to quit the company. They're willing to leave. They're willing to walk out on behalf of him because he's their friend. I love the fact that New Day is accomplishing all of this without any sort of jealousy or any sort of dissension. And to everyone, again, like I'm going to say, everyone who tweets me about should they break up or do you think they're going to break up? No, I am never going to say that they should break up. And I'm never even going to acknowledge the possibility that they could break up because it will break my heart into 1,000 pieces. And I just can't live my life that way. So no, like friendship needs to prevail with the New Day. I think they're incredible together, and segments like this really prove it, right? Like they, Xavier Woods and Biggie Langston are not like, ooh, I could have Kofi get the title and then maybe he'll give me a title shot, and that's why we want this. They want Kofi Kingston to become champion because Kofi Kingston's been there for 11 damn years and he's worked his ass off, and they've been saying this for years. Like there are clips of them in 2014 saying that Kofi Kingston should be world champion, and they are behind him doing that. And I think that kind of long-term friendship is something that's so rare in wrestling. And I know I probably just sound like super naive to a lot of people who are like, but that's not what wrestling is based on. But I like friendship, okay? Like it is good to have a feel-good friendship story, especially with three black men who are just like being awesome and being themselves. Like it's great to see three good black dudes on television being themselves, right? So I kind of like the fact that Biggie and Xavier had to fight for Kofi. And I like that Kofi was backstage watching and he was like, I've done everything I can do. And I think Kofi, even before last week, had pretty much done everything he could do to prove that he belonged in that title match with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And to have his friends have to fight for him, I think was actually kind of a beautiful story to tell. And then in the gauntlet, when, and again, my internet was like terrible last night, so I missed out on a lot of the gauntlet, but I did see when the Usos came out and they were going to fight Big E Langston and Xavier Woods, and they were like, we've gone to war with you. And they have. And they've gone to war with that combination of the New Day multiple times. And they were like, you've proven everything to us. You know, we forfeit. And I think that was a beautiful long-term continuity type story that they brought in because they did go to war with each other so many times over the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. And that respect still lingers. That respect and that, like, the friendship that they cultivated through those brutal matches and through that war with each other, I like that that was still present. I like the fact that the Usos were like, no, Kofi deserves this. And we're going to take a loss on television here. It's not going to hurt us. Like, we're the Usos. It's fine. Like, we're not going to be harmed by this. You deserve it. You've done everything you could. And that sort of support from the locker room is something you don't see very often in WWE either. So, all of that kind of stuff I thought was great. I think it was kind of clever the way they did beat Eric Rowan and Daniel Bryan, because even though, like, logic says, why are you allowed to flip an announce table over on someone but not use a chair? Like, wrestling's weird that way. But for some reason, announce tables are just kind of fair game. Or, like, if you put furniture on top of someone, it's okay. Kind of like stairs. I don't know. It's weird. But I kind of like the fact that they did it via countout. Eric Rowan got counted out. They didn't pin Daniel Bryan, which I think they've been doing a little too often because he is the WWE champion. Like, I don't want them to keep having, like, someone has been the WWE champion, and that just happens over and over and over, because I think Bryan's better than that. But yeah, so I think it ended up telling a good story. Vince McMahon can just, like, go right the fuck away. Like, I hate it. I hated that they interviewed him after, and I missed exactly what he said because my screen glitched. But wasn't it just like, was it Kayla asked him, like, is Kofi going to WrestleMania? And Vince was just like, he's going. He didn't say he's going to be in the title match with Daniel Bryan.
He said he's going, then he said, but I'm not too sure if a B-plus player can actually beat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Oh, is that so what he said?
I would argue back on that I think that segment needed to be in there given what the story was. Because as soon as the match was finished and the New Day won, my initial thing was, but is he getting the shot now? Like, yeah. I wouldn't have wanted it to extend again. We needed a definitive by the end of the show, is he in or is he not? And now we get it.
I worry still because this show has taught me not to trust Vince McMahon. Like, I still worry that he's going to try and throw some sort of swerve in next week and I'm going to want to tear my hair out because that's not what I want. Like, they have proven everything that they can do. Like, even they have the support of the locker room. I loved seeing Becky Lynch backstage watching the gauntlet. I loved, you know, kind of the babyface roster show of support. I loved everyone coming out and surrounding the ring and just, you know, like, being really happy for Kofi Kingston. This was awesome. Like, it was a really feel-good moment. Kofi Kingston going to WrestleMania is the culmination. I kind of hate that there's the fly in the ointment for me of Vince McMahon being like, oh, but maybe I don't trust you still. So that's the part of the story that still doesn't work for me. But overall, like, yeah, I am happy that Kofi Kingston has, as far as we know, the title opportunity against Daniel Bryan at this point. And I like that friendship prevailed. And I like that friendship and respect stood tall. And we don't get enough of that in wrestling, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe now that we can know it's official. The advertisements are now out. It's now everywhere. The match graphics everywhere. So I think he's safe now. But the other thing that happened on SmackDown, I watched SmackDown without spoilers. So I sent you an article last night from Fightful. I think it was Sean Ross Sapp had written it about how they were going to rejig the SmackDown women's title picture at WrestleMania, which meant that the four-way that was advertised was not going to be delivered, and instead we got Charlotte Flair challenging Asuka for the SmackDown Women's title. They have this, like, great 17.5-minute match, and Charlotte wins the SmackDown Women's title clean from Asuka, and now she is the champion at WrestleMania. What do you make of it? You've had a day almost to try and assemble some thoughts. Divided opinion online, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah.
But where do you sit on them? Give me your thoughts.
I feel kind of deflated about it at this point. I feel tired, is how I feel. Like, not just because I'm physically tired right now, but I feel tired of this story. And that's not how I want to feel about this. Like, I've been looking forward to Becky versus Charlotte versus Ronda for so long. And I think a lot of the dissension online has come from fans of Asuka, because a lot of people are fans of Asuka, and it sucks. Like, this sucks for Asuka. And I don't know that it really adds anything to Charlotte versus Becky versus Ronda. Like, I'm more confused about that part of the stipulation, because have they said, like, how the SmackDown belt is going to play into that match? Is it going to be, like, some sort of convoluted situation where whoever Becky pins, she gets their title? Or, like, if Ronda pins Charlotte, then she gets both? Or, like, I don't know. It seems like it's too many things. It's too many ingredients. Like, I saw someone online yesterday compare it to, like, it's like putting a hat on a hat, you know? Like, you don't need to do that. You already had the Raw women's title, which did feel far and away, like, above the SmackDown women's title, because the SmackDown women's title hasn't been on TV. And I guess one of the biggest bummers is that it's made me realize that Asuka's championship reign sucked. And it's not her fault. Like, her championship reign sucked, and that's not what a lot of people aren't saying, because everyone was so happy to see Asuka as champion. And other than tapping out Becky Lynch clean at the Royal Rumble, which they never capitalized, and I'm so angry, it's like flames on the side of my face, what are you doing? she hasn't done anything, right? Like, she's just kind of been there or not there. She's been just off TV a whole bunch because they were like, we're going to wait until we have a plan for her. We're going to wait until we have a plan for her. And then they just never had a plan for her. And it sucks because Asuka's so fucking talented. And it sucks because the SmackDown Women's Division deserves better. Like, they deserve to have a division. And the show hasn't been giving SmackDown a women's division. You and I have talked about the quality of the SmackDown Women's Division at length. We don't need to go into the same arguments all the time. But it is a disservice to Asuka and it is a disservice to SmackDown that the division is so poor that Vince McMahon made the decision that no one would care about Asuka versus any of the other women on the show. And he wasn't necessarily wrong. I mean, I don't know why Nikki Cross is not out here playing with people on television when she's clearly still on the roster because she came out to celebrate with Kofi Kingston. I don't know. So I guess, like, it sucks that Asuka's title reign was incredibly lackluster. And so, from that perspective, can I see cutting her match from the show? Yeah. But, like, that's a problem that you created, WWE. Like, that's not a problem that just happened that you have to fix or deal with. Like, that's a problem that WWE created. And it's been a disservice to SmackDown and a disservice to its women. I'm really nervous that they're going to unify the belts. I know a lot of people think that they need to be unified because the SmackDown division is so terrible and the, you know, there aren't enough title contenders. But no, like, unifying the belts doesn't make things better. Unifying the belts makes things worse because unless you're unifying the men's belts too and unifying things across all of the programming, that's just fewer women's belts and like an excuse to keep fewer women on the show. Instead, you should be bringing more women in. Like, get rid of some of the men's belts. They have enough. Like, I just have a lot of feelings about this. And like, it being on Charlotte again. Fine. It seems like the safe option. It seems like what they just kind of default to. But I'm underwhelmed by it. And I'm not even super, like, I'm not even angry at Charlotte necessarily. I don't understand why she got the title shot. I guess she just wanted one and she's like the chosen one, so she got it. I guess, right? Like, Becky called her undeserving and she was like, I'll get a belt too. I don't know. The whole thing is just really strange. What do you think about it?
So, like you had said to me, oh, I watched SmackDown, but avoid spoilers. And I was
And I
watching
texted
it.
you at 10. Are you proud of me? Because I know you look at timestamps.
Yes, I am very proud. So, I watched it and I was watching the women's title match and I was like really biting for the near falls. And then Charlotte won the belt. And I think after the initial deflating, I was kind of like, I think that was the right move, which I don't want to think. And I am an Asuka fan, but I think that I need. For me, I think that I've been very deluded in my idea that Asuka's title reign can mean anything because, and I mean this with all due respect, the SmackDown Women's Division is terrible. It is absolutely terrible. And the problem, I've been trying to work out what they can do. I think the problem is because Asuka is Japanese and she's not necessarily traditionally able to do promos the way everyone else does, that then the focus has to be on the wrestling that she does. Because she's not the character, or her character is the wrestling. And she's in there with a bunch of women who are not even on the same hemisphere as her. And it's a problem. It's a real issue. And I think that the last 2 or 3 months were like, any match we tried to come up with, it's not that interesting. The Nikki Cross one could have been good had when she initially came up in January, they pushed her from the beginning. Was like, right, okay, this is happening. They couldn't just shove it in now. So, the
But
thing
this
that
is the
we.
constant problem with WWE. Like, it's the problem with their roster, right? Like, they bring people in and make them feel not special right away. They did it with Ruby Riott. Like, Ruby Riott is more than capable of being like a top tier, like main event wrestler, but they've just put her in a squad in meaningless tag matches forever, and then no one really wants to see her anymore, right? And it's a problem that WWE has had, and it seems like they're sacrificing having a proper division for one match. Like, they're putting all of their eggs in one basket here with both titles in the main event of WrestleMania. It's like you can't sacrifice the rest of your show just for this one thing when this one thing doesn't need it in the first place.
But then, like for me, so you know, the interesting thing about the because I read a conversation actually that Ollie and Karam were having on Twitter earlier today. And I was trying to kind of formulate how I could say it. The whole unification idea is a lot more complicated, I think, than people make it out to be. Because I think the issue that WWE had from the beginning is that you can't accurately, fairly put the women's and the men's division up against each other, not because the women's division is any lesser or the men's is any more. But on the active male roster, there are maybe like 25 guys who could put on great matches. In the women's division, there are five. And
Right.
that's a lot smaller. So what they need to start doing is the it, you know, once you've got like 20 women who can put on great wrestling matches, then bring up your Carmellas and your Mandy Roses and those kind of characters who we're not watching them for the 5-star matches, where they're hopefully going to develop a character that gets over, etc., etc. So I'm not too sure that unifying the belts isn't in the short term the worst idea, because as you know, being a WWE fan, they unify or get separated probably every 5 to 10 years anyway. I think that I cautiously kind of sit on the side of I'd rather the SmackDown Women's title was involved in the biggest women's match in the main event than not be anywhere, or be on the pre-show or anything like that. It's but I'm not happy about it. Like, I love Asuka. Her title reign has sucked. It has sucked big donkey balls. That, you know, she beat Becky. I think that their plan when she beat Becky Lynch was Asuka will then remain strong in her championship role through to April, and then afterwards they can face off. But the division in SmackDown wasn't strong enough. The division in SmackDown was so weak that they didn't want to put her on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view because the only options were Zelina Vega and Lana, which, my God, Lana just jump off a bridge.
Oh gosh, have you seen her whole like salty thing online? And like I saw her tweet something yesterday like, "Oh, we need a," like she quote tweeted someone who's like, "Oh, we need a salty like hand gesture or whatever for like too salty." And I'm like, "Hermit Crab has been doing this for years. Like, you are stealing someone else's gimmick at this point. It's real, oh, it
But
drives you
also, it's
crazy."
like, so right. Mandy Rose is a decent character who is nowhere near ready to have, you know, big singles matches. Sonya Deville, pretty similar. They should be a tag team. They should be nothing more right now. That's what they should be. Naomi has had in the past flashes of good at various points. Carmella, you know, she was in the triple threat match last year at SummerSlam. I think she's effective to a degree. Those four women have a reason to be annoyed. Lana is an absolutely terrible professional wrestler. Terrible. She should not be anywhere near the ring. And the idea she's, oh, you know, now you can all be salty with me. No, because these women have a certain degree of talent to varying degrees. You do not. You're don't you put yourself in on this. That's like when that would be like the equivalent of Lana saying what she said to put in with those girls is like someone who just got racism and against them, and then somebody's coming up going, "I know what you mean. One time, someone thought I was English." That's not racism.
No.
So Lana, yeah. Anyway, so I don't know what they do. I kind of hope they unify the belts. I know it's not what you want to hear, but
I
I
don't.
feel like the two titles being on the line in the biggest women's match of all time in the main event, and Becky coming out with the, you know, Becky coming out as the man, is more interesting to me than Charlotte comes in and she has the belt, but then she loses, then she still has the belt. But I do have one potential positive to come out of it, maybe, is that maybe one of the stories they could tell, I'm not saying they're trying to tell a story because this was decided less than a day ago, but one of the things that they've kind of inadvertently stumbled into is that the one thing that Asuka has never been able to do properly is beat Charlotte when it counts.
Yes.
And, you know, it happened at WrestleMania, it's happened now. So if eventually we get to see Asuka and Charlotte, and Asuka can, on a pay-per-view or whatever, finally defeat Charlotte for a belt, that would be a good story to tell.
That'd be a great story to tell. That's the story I wanted told at this year's WrestleMania. Like,
But the
that
pro
would have been incredible.
but the problem they have
But
is that Asuka is the best women's wrestler on the roster who is not Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda. And because, as a character, her character depends on wrestling, and there's not really many other people in the roster who you can put up against her. So I think they've got a real long-term issue here that they and then but then they've also got tag belts now for the women, and there are two tag teams, maybe three. I mean,
There are not very many.
you can bring Beth Phoenix back and do the legend thing. That's fine, but I mean, the problem is they're either going to have to bring in a ton more women, or they're just going to have belts that kind of sit there for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, there are too many titles at this point. Like, there are. And I agree with that, but it's just unifying the women's belts seems like an excuse to stick with your shitty status quo of having eight women on your roster and no more. Like, you need more women on a roster if you're going to have tag belts and, you know, proper women who can be in a main event scene. That's been the problem the whole time, is that there isn't a proper women's division with tiers, right? Like, you have some very lower card wrestlers like Lana, like Dana Brooke. Like, they put Alicia Fox down there, even though she's capable of more. But, like, you have those sorts of wrestlers on the roster. But the problem is that, like, they bring in certain women who actually are capable of good matches. Like, Natalya is a very good, like, mid-card wrestler, right? But I mean, they brought in Mickie James and they just made her a sidekick the whole time. Mickie James would be more than capable of having killer matches with some people, but they just kind of brought her in and she's just kind of doing nothing. And, you know, they brought in Ruby Riott and put her in a bunch of meaningless trios matches. And Nikki Cross, they brought in and had her like lose a couple times. And now she's backstage every week, sending out awesome videos online for reasons, question mark. Like, it's a problem that they've created themselves, and they've just done a disservice to the show. And it pisses me off. Like, I don't want them to be able to stick with their shitty status quo, because if there's only one belt, then they'll be like, oh, well, we don't have to put more women on the show because we don't have as many prizes to fight for, so there's our problem solved. And that's not the way to solve the problem. Like, the way to solve the problem is not getting rid of more women. The way to solve the problem is to actually try and foster equality and try to bring in women who are good and who are capable and who are equipped to do main event level storytelling and matches. And those women exist. There are so many women out there who I'm sure would love a contract with WWE, and they're more than capable of this sort of thing. So it's like, it hurts my brain that they don't seem to see that there is a solution and that women can draw. And obviously, like, giving us a first ever all-female main event of WrestleMania, like, that's awesome and that is huge and that's a big step, but that's not gonna just put a band-aid and fix the whole problem that you've created for yourselves as a company.
Yeah, and the problem's much bigger. I don't know what you do. Like I said, I think the issue is that you can't really say that the two divisions are the same, like the men and the women's, because of the difference in how many there are. And like you said, it's not that there's not women out there. It's not like you're like, well, there's only more good male wrestlers because there's loads of better male wrestlers than there are female. Part of the issue is that a lot of guys who became wrestlers grew up watching, whether it was Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair or whoever, that's what they grew up with. If you were a woman or a little girl, like apart from Sherry, I mean, there wasn't exactly a lot of great role models. You'd be like, I could be her, I could be her. And then it was like Trish and Lita, which, you know, that's like, that's like two people. So it's only really now, or in the last kind of, I mean, right, the women who would be coming into wrestling now, who are what, maybe mid-20s. Like, when they were watching wrestling, it was like Kelly Kelly and Eve Torres. No offense to Eve Torres, she was athletic, but come on.
I feel like the sad thing is that we're not getting Eve Torres now. Like, jiu-jitsu goddess Eve Torres would
Yeah.
be incredible. Like, I would love to see Eve Torres come back at some point and do another thing. Like, 'cause she was in the was she in last year's Royal Rumble or something like that? She was in
Yeah, she was.
something. And I would love to see her like come back and do something, for the same reason that I kind of like that Beth Phoenix is getting a chance to come back and do something, because when those women were active on the roster and a part of, you know, the full time, quote unquote, if any of the women could be considered full time performers for WWE, they didn't really get a chance to shine. Like, they had 3 minute matches. They didn't get a chance to do a whole lot. So that's why having a lot of like women legends and people coming back for spots like this, I think it sits better with me than having a bunch of old dudes come back, just because these women never really got a chance to do stuff when they were around, and it's cool that they're finally getting a shot.
Well, let's move on to our questions that we have. We have a lot of questions from listeners. We'll try and get through all of them if we can. Craig McKeegan wants to know, do you think there should be a women's battle royal this year? So far, there's not one announced, and with the women that aren't currently scheduled for a match, should there be one?
Yes, there should be one. I mean, two battle royals on a show is a lot, but it's one of those situations where you kind of want to get everyone on a card. You want everyone to be able to compete at WrestleMania. And if there's going to be a men's one, like, why not have a women's one? Like, it's going to be on the pre-show,
I'm going
because
to
of
add
course it's going to be
in,
the pre-show.
there's a question here from Grant Flynn saying, what's next for Asuka? Asuka should win that battle royal. At least give her that. Like, I'm not saying,
She needs something.
just let her win the battle royal at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer to see her in the Battle Royal. Like, I mean, fantasy booking, like trying to protect my brain, goes, you could add her to the main event and make it a fatal four-way, which makes no sense, but it wouldn't harm the match, and it makes about as much sense as anything else at this point. Or, like, give her a chance to still face Charlotte at WrestleMania for the title and have that match and have Charlotte do two of them or something. But I know that's not what they're going to do. But like, it would be really nice if Asuka were on the actual card. She's probably going to be in the Battle Royal. If she's in the Battle Royal, she should fucking win the thing. The whole Asuka situation is just a big bummer.
And I think that I think Asuka should be in the Battle Royal. I think she should win it. The problem is they've got so many matches as it is. I mean, part of the reason Asuka lost the belt is because they don't have enough space to put anything else on the card. So, I mean, I'd love in another world if we got the Asuka Charlotte thing earlier on the show, and maybe Asuka beats Charlotte, and then, or I can't remember the way you put it on Twitter, but yeah, doing it early in the night would be a good idea. But just there's no time. You know, unless we want to be sitting there until 3 a.m.
See, and I'm at the point where I would rather just not have the SmackDown Women's Belt on the show than have this.
I mean, I would have preferred if I would have preferred if she had done something like an open challenge for
Yeah.
WrestleMania and like have some, but like, even if it's like Trish or something come out and she kills her for 5 minutes. But you know what? Right after it, you have the same problem you have right now, and that none of the the challengers on the brand are even on her level. So does she continue to beat all the people that she's beat for months, or they're in the, like, because when Mandy Rose beat her, we were all raging that Mandy Rose beat her, but then we didn't want her to just keep beating Mandy Rose. So I don't know what the answer is, but
Bring more women on your show.
yeah.
Let Nikki Cross out of the backstage area.
They are good ideas. I agree with you. Courtney Johnson says, do you think they should have gone with two separate women's title matches at WrestleMania or go four-way now with Asuka and unify the titles?
I don't want the titles to be unified. I think it should be two separate ones. I. If they have to be unified, why not add Asuka to the match at this point? Like, again, it bums me out because all of the twists and turns in this particular story are just exhausting me and making me less interested in the main event. Like, it's still going to be great and it's still going to be a fantastic match, but it has kind of this cloud of disappointment over it for me now. And I don't like that.
Robert Fletcher wants to know, with the aftermath of SmackDown, should WWE kick off a Four Horsewomen versus UFC Four Horsewomen saga with Ronda retaining under dodgy circumstances at Mania? No, she should not retain at
No.
WrestleMania. But I would be up for the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen if they could find a way for it to at least make a little bit of sense.
Well, this is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about too, because obviously everyone is floating the theory that at the end of WrestleMania, they want to do a big, like, iconic moment shot of the four horsewomen of WWE raising their belts tall, right? Like Sasha and Bayley and Becky and Charlotte, all with their belts, all raising them up, which means if they unify the belts, they can't do that. So it's one of the reasons I don't think they're going to unify it, because I wouldn't doubt that that's what they want, that they want that iconic picture to sell on plaques and things for years. And I think this is kind of a shitty way to go about it, but do you really think there's that much interest right now in Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen? Because 3 years ago, I would have said yes, but right now, it's not something I even want to see. And that's not because I'm disinterested. Like, I mean, you know, I was the biggest NXT fangirl in the world when Becky and Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley were coming up. And like, Bayley versus Sasha will always be my favorite match. It will always make me cry. I love that match. But I just feel like we're so far beyond that, and I feel like we're so far beyond the Four Horsewomen of NXT. And I also feel that Ronda Rousey is such a different character to Shayna Baszler at this point, and Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke are like they're still very new and still learning. So I don't know if there would be as much interest in it as people think that there would be, but I'm always a really bad gauge for this because I don't understand box office.
Well, it's tough
So.
because, like, there's. I mean, when Triple H and Batista was floated around, a lot of us were kind of like, who cares about that? And then they do a segment and it works. So I think it's kind of impossible to tell. I think if you do it, you have to have Charlotte and Becky kind of be, like, reluctantly on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, they're only on the same page to prove this point. It's hard to say. I mean, I think on paper it looks like a box office match, but I don't know how you get to it. And I
I
think you
think it's
would.
just, yeah, it's tricky because of like where people are placed and who people are as characters right now.
Like, I could see them
And
doing something where Becky wins at WrestleMania, And then she comes out the next night, and Raw ends with the four horsewomen attacking Becky. And then you start there, and that's your kind of beginning of your story, if depending how long Ronda's sticking around. But then the other thing is, like, Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir always, I can't say that fast. I always get their name, I always, if I try and say it fast, end up saying Jessamyn Shafir. Anyway, they're not really ready to be like proper
Featured.
featured wrestlers, so you got to protect them.
And is Shayna gonna still be the champion?
A lot of questions. But my answer would be I'm not against it, but I would be very like sort of careful about how they go about it, which
I would want
given
them to handle it with care, and right now I don't trust them to handle things with care.
it's a valid concern. Couple of questions about Kevin Owens. Gareth Williams says, what's Kevin Owens doing, and should they have waited to bring him back if they're just going to stick him in the Battle Royal and use someone like Orton for the Fastlane match? And that was also added by Gopal Gopal, who says, like me, are you absolutely baffled by the treatment of Kevin Owens? They gave him build up before he returned. A couple of matches later, he's an afterthought.
I
What
mean,
do you think?
initially the plan was Kevin Owens versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, right? And that's why they brought him back when they did, and why they started the vignettes when they did, and then plans changed. And I think Kevin Owens has been a victim of plans changing. I don't think that they intentionally are screwing over Kevin Owens, and I think that Kevin Owens is a dynamic enough performer that he can come back from this.
He knows Kevin Owens, when he came out at the end of SmackDown, he was clapping hands for Kofi. I got the sense, maybe I'm just projecting this onto him, I got the sense that he was like, I know this was meant to be my match, but you know, Kevin Owens is someone who people kind of sometimes say, oh, Kevin Owens had a bad run, WWE. Kevin Owens had a great run for
Oh
the
yeah, he was
majority of it.
Universal Champion. Like, he's been featured prominently. He had that match with Shane McMahon at Hell in a Cell.
The
Like,
big tag match at Daniel Bryan's return to last year's WrestleMania. But he's been featured
yeah.
very heavily. So I think that he gets the like his next run will come probably later this year. Kofi probably would never get this if it didn't happen now.
Yeah. Kofi Kingston is one of the rare instances where they're actually doing something that rose organically and doing it at the right time, right? Like, WWE rarely does this. And that's one of the nice things about the Kofi story. Like, misgivings that I have with, the Vince shenanigans and whatnot aside, it's great to see them kind of telling a story that hasn't gone on too long. Like, because I think the Raw women's title scene story has gone on too long. Like, I'm trying to find the tweet because, like, DJ Accident Report on Twitter said, oh yeah, this is about Becky and Ronda, not Kevin Owens, but just like it reminded me of it with the whole like complicated stories and whatnot. Like, when you think of how clear and simple the Becky Ronda story could have been and see how labyrinthine it has become, it sort of makes you feel like no one has any idea what they're doing at all. And that's part of the problem is that things do change on the fly. With Kevin Owens, it changed on the fly, So I think he's just kind of a victim of that. I think they brought him back when they did because they had a plan and the plan changed. But I'm not like worried about Kevin Owens. I don't know what he does now. I don't know where he goes, but I'm sure he'll be around. Like, I'm kind of curious about the looming presence of Sami Zayn and when he's going to come back.
It's funny because like I think that there's definitely valid concerns in like the booking and stuff like that, but like it's like they listened to the audience.
Yeah, like this is what we want them to do.
So you know, you can't have it both ways. Like if Kofi Kingston gets hot, you can't predict when that's gonna happen. I could never in a million years have predicted this Kofi Kingston thing would happen. I know
No,
there's
me
always been this kind
neither.
of like loyalty run thing that people would talk about, but you could never have predicted this was gonna happen. So I just think it's one of those things. Kevin Owens, like you say, is sadly a victim of it, but I don't think it's necessarily WWE's fault in this case. I think it's just they had a plan and then the Kofi thing came up and they decided to go with it.
Like, I'm not nearly as bummed about Kevin Owens as I am about Asuka, because I believe that Kevin Owens is going to be featured still, and I believe that they see him as a valuable performer. I don't know that I believe that about Asuka. Like, I'm bummed about Asuka in a similar way to being bummed about Samoa Joe losing things constantly, because, like, I think Samoa Joe's so good, and I think he absolutely could have been WWE champion, but they just don't see him as that type of performer, and maybe they just don't see Asuka as that type of performer, which is baffling because she's incredible. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the hurt feelings about Asuka just are from a lot of people being fans of Asuka, and maybe WWE just isn't.
You did bring up Sami Zayn though, and Melanie Bevan had wanted to ask, where is Sami Zayn? He's actually on a tour of the UK right now, enjoying himself. He was
Yeah, I
in.
saw pictures of him in Newcastle and Edinburgh.
So, you know, Sami Zayn, he's you know, he'll, but the thing with Sami Zayn is like, I don't want him to come back now. I would rather he came back after WrestleMania, like the night after, or the Montreal shakeup, because like, why overload? Like, there's too many people as it is.
The Montreal shakeup makes all of the sense in the world for him to come back at that show.
Yeah, exactly. Or if they do it the night after WrestleMania, because it's like they like to have people return that night. One of those two to me makes sense. So yeah, I guess that's probably where we'll see him. I think
Because
this.
what would you do with Sami Zayn at this point?
I
Like
wouldn't want him. He'd be a
he would be
Samoan.
another victim like Kevin Owens, and I feel like Sami Zayn needs to be treated with a little bit more care than Kevin Owens in some ways, because I feel like, you know, Kevin Owens is always going to be more featured than Sammy, it seems, which is kind of a bummer because I love Sammy as a performer. I think he's fantastic, but they seem to see more in Kevin Owens.
Well, also, I think that the Samoa Joe comparison is pretty good, of like, Samoa Joe, when he debuted in 2017, he debuted like 3 weeks before WrestleMania, or a month before, but like there was no feud for him at WrestleMania,
Yeah, he
so he
was just
just.
nowhere. He wasn't on the card.
So yeah, I'd rather you leave it till afterwards. I think this one's for you. Aaron Hubble wants to know: do we think this is finally the time Shane takes it too far and plummets to his death? I guess in the Falls Count Anywhere match at WrestleMania.
I'm nervous about Shane. Like, I'm legitimately nervous about Shane. It is uncomfortable to watch Shane McMahon do wrestling at this point, similar to the Kurt Angle situation. Maybe not quite as uncomfortable, but like, I worry what Shane is going to try to jump off or do. And I mean, he's a crazy person. We know this. He's probably going to try to jump off something very high onto The Miz. I just don't want him to be hurt. I want him to be able to play with his children. So do I think he's going to plummet to his death? No, because he's like indestructible and survived a helicopter crash and diverticulitis and then wrestled 2 weeks later. And he's insane, right? Like, he's Shane McMahon. He's insane. But I'm very curious how that match is going to go. I like that it's Falls Count Anywhere, I guess. I just hope that it doesn't go on too long, because them adding these stipulations to Shane McMahon matches often mean that then the Shane McMahon matches are going to be long, and I do not want it to be a very long match. But I think Miz, again, like the Miz and Shane story on SmackDown has still been compelling for me, so I've enjoyed that quite a bit. Like, they had that, you know, kind of great video package today, and Shane's just being an utter dickhead. And it's very cathartic to be able to just boo him again.
You've wanted to boo him for a long, long time.
Yes.
Rhys Saunders
And now
asked.
he hurt friendship. You know how I feel about friendship.
You are a very pro-friendship person. Rhys Saunders says, out of Becky, Seth, and Kofi, who do you see losing at WrestleMania? I think it's going to be Seth. I think that seems like, out of all three of them, he's the one that kind of. I don't know. I can't see all three of them winning. And if one of them was going to lose, I think Seth is the most likely to lose, which sucks for him, but. He just so happens to be getting his time when Kofi got really hot and Becky became the top star of the company. So I think he might just be a casualty of that. What do you think?
I want all three of them to win. If one of them has to lose, like, and I don't think it would be bad for all three of them to win, right? Like, I think that would be the nicest, happiest, feel-good WrestleMania if all three of them won, and it would be amazing. I think Seth is the one that would bother me the least, because I just don't care about the Universal title on Raw. Like, I just don't, because it's been gone for so long that it just kind of feels like an inevitability that Brock Lesnar will just always have it and ruin our lives. I don't know. Like, I don't care about that belt, but it would be really, really nice to see it brought back to the show so that I could start caring about it again. But yeah, like, if Becky doesn't win and if Kofi doesn't win, then all of the crazy plot twists and turns and whatnot are going to feel like they're for nothing. And like, I need those payoffs, because there are, like in Becky's case, it already feels like we've done way too much to add to this story to make it too, like, maze-like, and I'm exhausted from the journey, and I at least want there to be a prize when we get to the end.
So the main thing about Seth losing that bums me out is that do we then have to go to Roman and Brock again? Because I
Well,
will
that's the thing,
start to
Roman's back.
self-harm. I will start to self-harm if we get that again. And we probably are that. But you know what? See, if that's what they were going to do, if that is the direction, then I would much rather have Brock retain and then have Roman beat Brock the next night on Raw in like a
Have it
crazy match.
Have it soon.
At least
Like,
have it the next
I
night.
want the belt off Brock, like, soon.
Okay, so some more questions. Oliver Osatian asks, will you be frequenting the MetLife Stadium's Greater Mac Shop and sampling the four different mac and cheese offerings, including pepperoni and sausage or the delectable Mexican Mac Bowl? Well, I will definitely be taking advantage of the regular one. I will probably be taking advantage of the pepperoni and sausage, but with my sensitive stomach and IBS, Mexican Mac Bowl is probably not the best idea for me. How about you, Sandra? Would you be tempted to try the Greater Mac Shop in MetLife Stadium?
I mean, I will definitely try the Greater Mac Shop in MetLife Stadium for sure. I do enjoy macaroni and cheese. It's going to depend on how my stomach is feeling that day, because if I'm already ill, which I could very well be because I'm going to be very tired by that point, then I think the mac and cheese would be a poor choice. But if I have the appropriate amount of drugs in my system, I should be able to handle mac and cheese. But I probably won't go for any of the crazy options because I know not to push myself too far.
Andrzej Witek says, what interviews are you looking forward to most at the media scrum? Are there some performers that you've really interesting questions to ask? Is there anyone you'd like to grab for a tour who's currently on the roster if WWE let them do it? I don't know who we're getting yet. I should find out later this week. But then the list that you get, like that can like one or two of them can change. And then yeah, so I mean in terms of who we get, it'd be great to get Roman. If he was doing interviews, I'm kind of hoping we don't get Jinder because I feel like we did this kind of story of interviews with him that kind of happened by default, and now I just don't know what we'd do next if we talk to him. I'd love to speak to Becky, obviously. Ronda would be great, but I doubt that. I would be amazed if Ronda Rousey is doing international media. I would
I
be
would be
amazed.
shocked.
In terms of who I'd like to grab for a tour on the active roster, Becky Lynch, she would be the one. I think she's got a great story, and it's got a good ending. So, Connor Kavanagh also asks about the three guys in the title match, the three guys in the title matches, guys and girls. Jason Torres, do you think there'll be any surprise appearances at WrestleMania? If so, who would you like to see? Is there anybody you would like to see turn up at WrestleMania, Sandra, that is not advertised?
I don't think so necessarily. Like, there's not really anyone I can think of that would add to the show, in my opinion. Like, the show already, it's weird because a lot of people don't seem that excited for this WrestleMania. I think because of a lot of the like crazy changes and a lot of the weird stuff going on, and maybe just like it being so long and whatnot, a lot of people are kind of just like tired by the thought of it. But I mean, it has a lot of really great stuff on it already, and any sort of surprise appearances are just going to make it longer, right? Like, we already have a celebrity involvement, you know, obviously with Triple H and Batista is like good celebrity involvement. The two dudes from SNL and the Battle Royal, maybe less effective celebrity involvement. Because Braun Strowman in the Battle Royal again this year, like, what even? He was the hottest star you had for a while, and now he's like feuding with two TV dudes in a Battle Royal. Does not make sense. I think there is a possibility that Rob Gronkowski is going to show up. I do not want that to happen. I would like him to stay far away. I do not wish to see him. But yeah, like, I mean, is there anyone that you can think of? Because there just isn't for me.
I was trying to think about, you know, they're doing the whole no holds barred match, Triple H and Batista. Maybe we see some people pop up there. I wouldn't be adverse to some legends. I think Ric Flair will turn up.
I'm sure he will.
Which, you know, Ric Flair chopping Batista will be funny before he's murdered by Batista. But yeah, that's about it. I don't really think there's any. Oh well. This actually adds into another question that Craig Ballantyne had, who said, do you think The Undertaker will be involved at all? And if so, doing what? I'm thinking his in-ring career looks just about over, going by the number of outside appearances he's booked for. I think that he will probably be the guy to interrupt Elias, like his last one. And to be honest, I think that's probably the best fit for both of them because Elias is not a very good wrestler, but he is a brilliant performer. And I think that having somebody had come up with the idea that, you know, like Elias continuously gets interrupted throughout the night. Like he gets interrupted by like the Honky Tonk Man who's going in the Hall of Fame, interrupted by somebody else, and then he finally is about to get his performance and the Undertaker comes out and knocks him out. Good use of the Undertaker. He just needs to come out and hit a couple of moves. Old school fans will like it. For Elias, I think it's kind of right up his wheelhouse, getting to do his heel heat and then just somebody crushes him at the end. So I think that probably could happen. But that's the only really other one I can think of. What else do we have here? Stephen Bradley, how does the build to this year's WrestleMania compare to the last couple of years for you?
It's weird because I'm trying to remember the builds the last years of WrestleMania, and like I remember being really excited for WrestleMania last year, but I feel like this year has done some things better and some things worse. Like in the sense of when I look at the card and I look at how many full-time performers are being featured in prominent matches, I get excited about WrestleMania. Like Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston, two full-time performers who I feel are absolutely deserving of the WWE title shot, right? Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair, fantastic. Like three full-time performers in the main event, and they're all women. That's awesome. But a lot of it seems to be kind of like even pace, and the excitement hasn't really been ramping up as much as I would like. I know we still have two more episodes bef like we still have one episode of Raw and one episode of SmackDown as go home episodes to WrestleMania itself. So we'll see if they deliver on those. But a lot of times those go home episodes to WrestleMania tend to be pretty underwhelming just because they have so much going on, because they're like trying to obviously get everything ready for WrestleMania, and that's the focus. And so Raw and SmackDown just kind of have a lot of video packages and they don't want anyone to get hurt and whatnot. So I don't know, like it's weird because I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the show, but I'm almost more excited about just like WrestleMania week than the show itself, which I can't really figure out why, because I'm enjoying looking at the card and seeing what the matches are. Like, I think the build has been decent, but I'm not overly excited about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. Some things have been done better and some things have been worse. Like I saw somebody yesterday on a like a travel page say, you know, he went to WrestleMania 32 and that was his dream and now he doesn't even watch and like the product's bad now and I'm like, you thought WrestleMania 32 was good? Like,
Oh, he thought that one was good?
I don't know if I'm on like crack cocaine or something. Maybe I'm just like high on stuff, but like I think the card looks good this year. The chaos for the most part I've kind of enjoyed. Because it's different. There's a lot of people in like Roman and Drew's a fresh match. The three way with the women in the main event, Kofi and Bryan, they're giving a chance to somebody who we never thought would get it. Batista Triple H, the fun nostalgia match. There's a little bit of a something for everybody. And while it might not be, I get that the TV shows are not always the most exciting thing to watch, but like this is not anywhere near the worst that it's been. And I don't even think it's bad right now. I think that what's happening right now is we're seeing that like there needs to be a shake-up because the rosters are skewed. But I don't know. Sometimes I look at posts and I go, I just don't get why some people think this is like the most negative time of all time. Like the women are main event for the first time. Becky Lynch is clearly the star of the show. Kofi Kingston is getting his moment to hopefully become a champion. Drew's getting to have a big match with Roman. I think there's enough good stuff in there for me anyway that I'm enjoying it.
Do you think it's because like some of the steps on the journey haven't been working for people? Because I know that a lot of the chaos, like in the Kofi Kingston story, for instance, like having Vince McMahon be all over it has harmed my enjoyment of that story. I'm still excited for Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan as the outcome, but like the journey itself has been very up and down for me, depending on how much Vince McMahon decides to be on television. And I think a lot of people are kind of annoyed at all of the twists and turns and over complications in the main event storyline as well, like with Becky and Ronda and Charlotte. Like there is too much, like, and I agree with the internet people that say like there is too much going into this show. And do you think maybe because we were excited like a couple months ago for that main event match, and now it almost seems a little bit past its sell-by date or past its like past its prime
Well, I
for
think
like
one. I was,
maximum effectiveness?
well, yeah, because I was thinking this earlier on today. I think one of the problems is that I don't think the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania route that has been in place for 20 years really works anymore.
There's too much content in between.
Yeah, there's like because if you win the Royal Rumble, yeah, you win that late January. There's like what, two and a half months, 2 months to the next one. Then you get two pay-per-views in between. Like I just feel like there's like I think there probably has been too much in the women's triple threat storyline, but I don't necessarily think that. That I think most of it's been good, and I've enjoyed most of it. So I don't really think that's a bad. I don't think there's been bad booking there. I just think there's things that I would have tightened up and changed, and I would have probably given Charlotte the belt a while ago, than keep it going this long. But I don't know how you fix it. I don't know whether you do you move the Royal Rumble to later, do you move WrestleMania up to March and kind of do WrestleMania in mid-March so you've not got as. But then, I guess they want to. they always kind of tend to do it around the Easter holidays, so that's just when they do it. But
Well, and if it's earlier, like if it's any earlier than it is, then outdoor stadiums are basically out.
yeah, on especially on the East Coast. So yeah, I don't know what the answer is to that one, but I think in terms of build, I would say this one is, yeah, I'm kind of with you, in some ways better, some ways worse. Like, I don't have the dread of Roman versus Brock, which killed my soul.
That's true. There is the absence of dread. I think there's just also the absence of like really, really excitement. You know, it seems fine.
I think that this reminds me a little bit of like 31, where I know you're not a big fan of that show, but like leading up to that show, I wasn't super excited about it, and then I loved the show. So I think
That's
this
what I'm
like,
hoping for this year. Like, I'm hoping that, you know, all the people who aren't super like stoked, but like are gonna watch it, I hope that it kind of sneakily blows us away.
yeah, and
And
like,
that the
look,
length of the show doesn't harm the enjoyment of it.
and I think like, we're subscribed to a network for like $10, and we're gonna get an 8-hour show out of it. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world. But I think the pacing of the show is gonna have a lot to do with it as well. They're gonna have to pace it well. Let's do a couple of last questions. Paul Michael Benson, which wrestler would be Sondra's number one choice on ITR Q&A?
I probably would have said Edge, but you already did it. So, William Regal.
Good call.
I think that would be very interesting, and I would really super want to be there.
Lewis Oxley Jenkins, lovely man that he is. Will you be returning to in hotel room competition for WrestleMania? No, I will not. I am not Shawn Michaels. I will not come out of retirement for the money.
Well, I mean, technically, Kenny, we're not staying in a hotel room, we're staying in an apartment, so there is a caveat.
Well, I mean, I left that caveat in there in case the money is good enough for me to come out of retirement, but I'm not going to do it.
So he says now.
Kyle Sard Sar is it Sardines or Sardines? Anyway, Kyle says, this is my first ever WrestleMania. I'll be attending live. I was considering bringing my DSLR cameras with me to take as many photos as possible if I'm allowed to bring it in. Do you think it's a bad idea to lug it around? Also, any other first-time Mania advice? I think DSLR cameras are okay. I would check with the venue directly. Like, don't leave it to chance. Like, make sure you can take it. If you bring
Yeah,
it,
and don't try to bring in too much either because they won't let you in.
yeah, I don't. They don't allow backpacks. They don't allow.
They don't allow any purses at all. Like, remember how I had to like get rid of my purse and put everything in a clear bag, which was real stupid?
And we had to drink 50 ml bottles of vodka.
So that they didn't go to waste.
So didn't go to waste. Any other advice? You're going to be in the stadium for about 7 hours, so I would plan it that way. Like, we got, like, last year, we got far too drunk.
We did.
Like,
We drank too much going into it was the problem. Like, we should not have had that fifth before we went into the stadium.
fifth of vodka, not fifth, not like, anyway. So, yeah, I mean, and I would say, like, last year I spent close to $200 in the stadium on food and drink. So my advice would just be to either smuggle. No, you can't. Well, you can't. No, don't smuggle. You just have to spend a lot of money in the stadium, essentially. Unless you like I'm someone, I'm always hungry at all times. So in a stadium is the worst idea for me, because I'm like, oh, French fries, oh, macaroni and cheese, and I just get in a food coma. But what I would say is, the last bit of advice, at the end of the show, if it's the same as last time, there will be buses getting put on. Do not get the bus. Go straight to the train station. You will have to wait a little while to get on a train, but the train will take you straight into Manhattan, and you don't need to wait in the horrendous queues that are going to be coming out of there to get into Manhattan. So, last question. Kieran Markham says, I think the WrestleMania card looks stacked with so many talents like Owens, Asuka, Braun, and maybe Sami Zayn if he's back. Not in a featured program. Do you think it's a matter of time until maybe WrestleMania becomes a 2-day event? I know you discussed it last year, but with the roster ever growing, it seems like a better approach than having multi-man matches and pointless battle royals that are going to be used as beer runs and piss breaks.
I mean, it's a complicated situation, right? Because if you do it as a 2-day event, are you going to do it 2 days in a stadium? Are you going to do like be are you going to have to pay for two WrestleMania tickets then? Like, are we going to have to pay the astronomical prices for a WrestleMania ticket twice? Because I don't know that many people can do that. Like, a lot of people can afford to go to WrestleMania and that's it. So, I mean, I think roster wise, if you want to get everyone on the show, it would make more sense to have a 2-day event for sure, because the show is too long at this point. Like, it is too long. And cutting down the time of the show would be helpful. But it's, I mean, either that or just make it like an all-day event in two parts. Like, part of it really starts like earlier than it does. And then you get like a break in the middle and then a night thing. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the solution is.
I mean, I think that it is complicated. I think that the issue is that they have so many performers and so many guys now. Like, they want to sign everybody. And the problem when you sign everybody is, where are you going to put them all? And the Battle Royals have kind of become this mean. If the Battle Royals from day one had meant something quite special, then that wouldn't feel like it is as meaningless as it is. I mean, don't get me wrong, I am very happy they're putting the Braun Strowman Saturday Night Live guys in the Battle Royal. Leave it there.
And not like another match or segment. Like, can you imagine Braun Strowman having to have a match with those people? Like, ugh.
Almost like strange to say people there. But yeah, and then if you do 2 nights of WrestleMania, do you do night one and night two? You probably have to split both brands over both nights because you don't want to seem like you're giving favoritism to one or the other. But I think the positive to it would be, I think there is enough depth that you could do two really, really, really good 3 hour cards. My only fear would be that then the 3 hour WrestleMania night one, night two end up in a 3.5 hour and a 4 hour, and then you end up with 2 nights of this level. But I mean, could they treat it like a festival? Maybe. I mean, I assume that the price of hiring a stadium is very, very expensive, so I can't see them doing a stadium 2 nights in a row. So there you go. Well, Sandra, that is it. I hope you've enjoyed
Of course.
podcasting.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk about wrestling here on Inside the Ropes, even when my voice sounds like death.
Give us the plugs.
Okay, follow me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Follow Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for tons of bonus content. PowerSlam Overrun, Classic ITR is starting to go back up again. Yellow Ropes Forever, where Kenny and I talk about NXT. Plenty of stuff to talk about there. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes for video content with interviews with various wrestlers. I know Chris Jericho content's been going up. Tons and tons of stuff over there. And insidetheropes.co.uk for tickets to an evening with Booker T that just got announced yesterday, which is super cool.
Yeah, so Booker T coming in July, that's going to be good. And also, just so you know, the decision for 7 Days, 7 Podcasts, which people are probably wondering what's going to be happening, there will be a podcast every day, but it won't be 7 on Patreon and 7 on the main feed. It'll be the regular podcast in the main feed and bonus ones on Patreon that will make up the 7 days. So, because if we put 2 out on both, you're never going to get time to listen to them all. So you get all the main feed stuff. David and I are going over to you. I'm going to try and get Robert and I to do an original recipe. I'm going to sit down with Keith Elliott Greenberg to talk about Madison Square Garden memories before the weekend. Then you have Sandra and I doing an NXT review that will hit Saturday at some point. Hopefully, maybe David and Val could get together and do a ROH New Japan Supercard review. And then obviously we'll be back on the Monday for WrestleMania and all that good stuff. So that's pretty much the plan. If you can't hear it, but Sandra's relief level has went about 20 miles in now. She
So
can now
much.
breathe.
Like, I've been like looking at the schedule of events and like the shows that I've already bought tickets to, and I'm just like, all right, I can take a nap for 30 minutes here before I have to get on a train and then like record this show and then edit this show, and there's a lot going on, but it'll be worth it. Like, I'm so excited, and I think I kind of have it blocked out to where I'm not doing a bunch like Thursday during the day, so I can kind of like recover a little bit. And then Friday's going to be mental, but like Saturday I'll have a little bit of time to recuperate. So yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I'll figure out what all shows I'm going to, and I'll make sure to put that on Twitter so people can come and say hi. And yeah, I don't know. Kenny's not coming with me to a bunch of them because he doesn't want to travel, but
I would totally have gone to another show if it was like, my thing is, can I get there in 30 minutes? If I
which
can't, like,
like
I'm
none
just.
of them you can. Like,
But wait, here's
there's one
what.
Saturday afternoon that you could, but I think you're busy that time.
Yes. But also, we'll be doing loads of interviews, so the YouTube content going up. I was going to say something else. We will try and do some sort of meetup at some point where, like, we just say, hey, we're at this bar. You want to come say hi to us? So that'll be a thing. But yeah. Anyway.
Because we'd love to get to like meet some of you people and see your lovely faces.
Yeah, Sondra's much better at the small talk than I am. So don't take it personally.
Kenny will just look at you and be like,
Fuck off.
sure.
Anyway, okay, so thank you for listening, everybody. And to play us out, do you know, I'm so impressed on Retro Rot with my comparison of Dr. Destiny Williams looking like Coach from Saved by the Bell the College Years. I'm going to play the Saved by the Bell the College Years theme because I think it's really good. We're standing on the edge of tomorrow waiting for
Today,
today. Yeah.
today.
Here it
You know
is.
what? It makes no sense to play that song here, but I'm not mad about it because it's so good. And now I'm just grooving to it in my head, even though I'm not going to be listening to the song. Maybe I'll play it on YouTube right after we hang up,
Bye,
just for fun.
everybody.
Bye.